word of a lost ship found, no word of his wife and children saved. Still he listened, and watched the broadcasts from Earth and the Moon, and checked the frequency that Syracuse would use to beam out its beacon and telemetry data. Maybe Theos fixed the antennas, he hoped aloud. Maybe they're signaling for help. Nothing. Only the crackle of interference from the depths of space. No word from his lost family.
I'm going to have to stay in the storm cellar, Angela complained. She had changed into strictly utilitarian coveralls, but still Theo noticed how well his sister's body filled the gray jumpsuit. As he pulled the heavy hatch open, Theo said, "Seal this hatch once you're inside. Don't open it for anybody, understand?" "Just because Mom's afraid, stuff it," Theo snapped. "Mom's got a right to be afraid, and if you had any sense, you'd be scared out of your skull." Angela fell silent. 10 men who haven't seen a woman in who knows how long," Theo went on. "You want to be gang-raped? Theo, that's exactly what they'll do, Angie. That nice Captain Volker wouldn't let them hurt me." But she stepped inside the cramped radiation shelter. "Volker would be first in line." "That's crazy, Thee." "Listen to me," he said. "There's food and water in here. You can stay here for a week if you have to. Seal the hatch and don't open it for anybody. Not until I knock on it like this." And he rapped his knuckles on the hatch's metal face 3 times in rapid succession, then a second's pause, then 3 more quick raps. "Got it? 1, 2, 3. Wait. 1, 2, 3. "Like a waltz," Angela said. "A waltz? Yeah, I guess maybe it is." Theo ducked down a bit to survey the interior of the metal-walled shelter. Cabinets stocked with supplies, food freezer and microwave, water tank half full. "That's it, then," he said at last. "You'll be okay in here until we get rid of Volker and his crew." Silently, he added, "I hope."
Pauline was in the command pod, fretting about the irony of the situation. "We're found by a gang of scavengers," she said to herself. "I suppose that's only to be expected. Who else would find a damaged ship drifting through the belt?" But the way that man stared at Angela. And she enjoyed his attention. She's letting her hormones do her thinking for her. I've got to protect her. And Theo, too. They'll murder Thee if they think he's getting in their way. How can I pull us through this? How can I get them to repair the ship without hurting us? Without killing us? Volker said they're salvage operators. That means they want our ship. But to get it... She squeezed her eyes shut, trying to blot out the vision that she foresaw. They'll kill us all. But only after they've had their fun with Angie and me. Maybe even with Thee. Then they'll take Syracuse back to Ceres and sell her for salvage. Or scrap, more likely. 1 teenaged boy and 2 women against 10 scavengers. Angie's out of their sight, but they can find her easily enough if they want to. And poor Thee, they'll kill him right off if he tries to fight them. What can I do? Pauline asked herself again and again. How can I stop them? Volker, she thought. He's their captain, their leader. He can control them, maybe, if I can control him.
Salvage ship Vogeltote, airlock.
I don't get it,
said Kirk, almost in a snarl. Why don't we just go over there and take that ship? Push the kid out an airlock and screw the 2 women until our cocks fall off. Nico, standing beside Kirk, laughed and agreed.
Yeah, why not?
Volker smiled benignly at his 2 crewmen. Because I say we're not going to do it that way. That's why.
If we put it to a vote, the crew would go my way, Kirk retorted.
Now listen, said Volker, planting his fists on his hips. I don't pull rank often, but I am the captain of this woebegone crew, and you'll follow my orders.
Why should we?
Because I say so. That ore bucket will fetch us a decent price back at Ceres, but once we show up with her in tow, what's the first thing the Rock Rats inspectors will ask? Before either Kirk or Nico could reply, Volker answered his own question. What happened to the owners? Kirk shrugged. How should we know? We found the vessel abandoned and adrift. Turning to Nico. Right?
Right.
It's not that simple, Volker insisted. It never is. Scratching intently at a scar along his cheek, Nico said,
I don't know what's wrong with just taking their ship and the two women. Bang, like that.
We're going to do it my way. Share and share alike.
That's what I've been saying, Kirk argued with a smirk.
Just like in the army, said Volker. The officers and the enlisted men share everything, 50-50.
Only there's 100 enlisted men for every officer, Nico grumbled.
That's right. And there's 9 of you apes and only 1 of me. But we'll share everything, 50-50.
Yeah,
Kirk asked, suspicious. 2 women. The 9 of you mugs and the crew get 1, and the captain gets 1.
Fair enough,
eh?
The hell it is.
All right, Volker said, laughing. Suppose I appoint you 2 to be officers. My 1st and 2nd mates.
Then the other 7,
they get 1 of the women, and the 3 of us get the other 1.
And the kid?
We push him out an airlock, after he rebuilds the ship's antennas. I'm not towing a vessel into the Ceres sector that's deaf, dumb, and blind. Kirk looked at Nico, who made an affirmative shrug.
Fair enough? Volker asked him. Fair enough, said Kirk grudgingly.
Then he added,
Which of the women do we get? Or do we take turns with the 2 of them?
With Volker directing them, Kirk and Nico set up a flexible access tube that connected Vogeltoat's main airlock with the zero-G hub of the wheel-shaped Syracuse. Now they didn't need spacesuits to transfer from one ship to the other. Volker was the first to glide through the spongy tube and enter Syracuse, with his 2 crewmen close behind him. Without much enthusiasm, Theo greeted them as they floated through the inner hatch of Syracuse's airlock. Speaking hardly a word, he led them along the tube tunnel to the lockers that fronted the main airlock, where Pauline was waiting for them. Welcome aboard, gentlemen, she said, forcing a minimal smile.
Where's your lovely daughter?
Volker asked, his teeth showing.
She's been taken ill, said Pauline. Some sort of a fever. I've confined her to her quarters.
Volker's grin didn't diminish by a millimeter.
That's too bad. Awful sudden, wasn't it?
Looking more serious than ever, Pauline said,
I don't know what it could be. I'm hoping it's not contagious. Once you get an antenna working, I can query the medical people at Ceres about her.
Volker nodded understandingly. Turning to his 2 crewmen, he ordered,
All right, you heard what the lady said. Let's get the materials aboard and start building a new set of antennas.
Neither man moved.
Then he said to Theo, You'd better get into your suit, son. We have a lot of work ahead of us, outside.
Right, said Theo. He turned to the row of lockers and began pulling out his own hard-shell spacesuit.
Still using those? Volker asked.
Pauline replied, We're not rich enough to afford the nanosuits, I'm afraid.
Too bad. If I had an extra one, I'd loan it to the lad.
Theo sat on the bench and began tugging on his leggings.
Nico, give the boy a hand. Kirk, you get back to our ship and start transferring the antenna materials.
Kirk started to say something, but a glance at Volker made him shut up and head back to Vogeltoat. Theo obviously did not appreciate being called a boy or a lad, but he said nothing as he reached for his thick-soled boots.
I used to work in a suit like this, Nico said, tapping his knuckles on the torso of Theo's suit, still hanging in the locker. The nanosuits are a lot better.
I suppose they are, Theo said guardedly.
Volker said to Pauline, I can get a diagnostic handset from our infirmary. Maybe find out what's ailing your...